Hello, and welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Harvest Church here in Elk Grove. We're excited to have you join us as we share God's message of hope and love. Each week, we bring you a new message from our pastors and guest speakers designed to inspire, uplift your spirits, and challenge you. Whether you're listening on your commute, at home, or on a walk, we hope these messages will bring you closer to God and help you on your faith journey. So without further ado, let's listen in.
The title of my message, this is the Prayer of Jabez, the Theology of Divine Blessing, Part 1. We're going to teach and preach on this, and I'm going to show you from the Word of God how God sees us and what He wants to do in us and through us. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10 says this. This is the New King James Version. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that you give your people a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would enlighten the eyes of their understanding, give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive what the Spirit of the living God is doing. God, give us insight into how you want to move in us and through us to make an impact, Father, in the world around us. We love you, Father God, and I love the saying, we are blessed so that we can be a blessing, Lord God. I pray that you would cause us to be a blessing to many other people, Father, through what you're doing in us and through us. Have your way, be glorified and exalted. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this. There's nothing on planet Earth that can stop you from living the abundant life that God has for you, except for two things. The first thing being us having a limited belief or having limiting beliefs, walking in unbelief or doubt, as the scripture would say, or our unwillingness to go to God. I want to show you that God has a desire for you, but those are the only two things that can stop you, because if you understand who God is and how he sees us and how he feels about us, it will change your perspective or what you think about God. Many times throughout the years, I've had people say to me, "Well, God doesn't like me and God's mad at me." And I say, "Could you find me that scripture that tells you like that God does not like me? He's angry with me." That's not how God feels about you. That may be how he feels about the sinful behavior you're participating in, but how God feels about you is very different than your perspective or what you may think. And let me tell you, God is more than a feeling. God is truth. Amen. Come on, your feelings do not determine how God feels about you, because if you feel bad on yourself, sometimes you project that on God, but that's not how God feels about you. But I want to tell you God's desire for you. I want to give you three scriptures that show you God's desire for you. First of all, John 10:10 says this. This is the New Living. It says, "And Jesus said, 'The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy.'" That's what the devil's mission statement for you. The devil wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to steal from you. So if you find that things are being taken away from your life, if you're losing things, things are being destroyed, that did not come from God. That came from the devil. Amen. But this is Jesus's purpose for your life. His purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Or as the New King James says, he's come to give you life and that more abundantly. So Jesus Christ came to give you an abundant life. That's how he feels about you. That's what he thinks about you. That's what he wants to give you. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding, but verse 6, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." That is awesome. Look at your neighbor and say, "Jesus is not trying to play peekaboo with you." Amen. You ever played peekaboo? You know, when you're like, you know, with a kid, you're trying to hide. The Lord is not trying to hide his will from you. He is trying to reveal his will, but your responsibility is to go to him continually so that he can continually reveal his will to you. It's like the GPS. When you go to the GPS and you put in the coordinates, along the way, it's going to continue to provide and give you direction of where you need to go. But you have to keep looking back. Okay, what's the next? Okay, 500 feet, take a right turn. 1,000 feet, take a left turn. When you come to the next stop sign, take a right turn. When you get to this intersection, go. And you have to continually get the update of the instructions. And God's continually giving us updates if we will continue to go to him for direction and seek his will. Can I get a good yes and amen? Thirdly, Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. That's God's will. You just have to seek, knock, and ask. And God said that you will receive, you will find, and he would open the door for you. Amen? So this is God's heart concerning us. But the reason that we don't see prayers answered is because sometimes we don't want to feel the sting of disappointment, so we don't pray things to God. And some of us just don't want to hear the no of God because maybe what we're doing or what we're asking may not be in the will of God. So instead of getting the no, we just avoid and evade God altogether and we don't even pray to him. And then some of us, we think that we're Superman, Superwoman, and we can do it all on our own and we don't need to include God into the equation. But let me tell you the mistake of that, because God, in this next part, God is the one that gives us good gifts. Can I get a good yes and amen? So let me give you a couple of words real quick. I want to talk to you about what does it mean to be blessed or blessed? And then what does it mean for us to receive God's blessings indeed? First of all, the word blessed means to receive God's grace, gifts, and personal favor. To receive God's grace, his gifts, and his personal favor. I think this is a perfect example in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2. Here's the reality. No matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, no matter what state or condition your life is in, God can cause you to have favor even in extremely negative situations. Amen? God is the great equalizer. God is the one that can take whatever you're going through, wherever you're coming from, and when you insert God into the situation, your whole situation can turn around. Joseph is the favorite son of his father, Jacob, and yet his brothers tried to kill him. You've never really lived until you've had a relative try to kill you. Come on, somebody, don't raise your hand, but any of you ever had a relative try to do you in? And his brothers tried to kill him, and they said, okay, we'll show mercy to you. We won't kill you, but we'll throw you into a pit, fake your death, and then sell you into slavery into a land of people that you don't know their culture, their language, or their backdrop, and we'll sell you as a slave. So he is in a very unfavorable situation. He's in what we would call a worst case scenario, but look at what the favor and the blessings of God look like in the life of someone whom God has favored. It says this in Genesis 39, 2. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Let me just stop there. You may be going through the most hellish situation in your life. Do you know that God could be with you in a bad situation? This brother's a slave, and the first sentence coming into the thing, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. If you know that God is with you, if you know that God is for you, then who can be against you? It says the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Verse 3, and Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant, and he put him in charge of his entire household and everything that he owned. And from the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for whose sake? For Joseph's sake. Potiphar was a heathen. He was an idol worshiper. He was an ungodly man. He was a pagan. And yet, for the sake of Joseph, God began to bless his household. I want you to understand, it doesn't matter if you have a government job, if you work for an ungodly boss or owner. It doesn't matter what backdrop, what school you go to, what type of perverted and twisted teachings they may be introducing into the environment. If God is with you, God will cause that organization, that business, that property, that school, no matter government entity to thrive just because you are in the building and you are an employee of that organization. They are not prospering because of what they've done. They're prospering because of who works for them. Amen. 6 years ago, last month, I was working at a car dealership, and last month in March, I had a 20 car month. For those of you who know, who worked in car sales, or you know anything about selling cars, that is a phenomenal month. I'll just say that Pastor Liz could go on vacation for quite a while after that month ended. Amen. And I thought about it. I worked with people who were drug addicts. They would have to make sure. They would go on breaks and go and get used drugs. And I'm not talking about smoking a little bit of weed. They was using much heavier drugs on lunch break with their nose running and tissue, if you are with me. And I'm thinking, God, why in the world would you put me in an environment with these godless people who have no reverence for you, no reverence for the things of God? And God says, so that you could be a testimony of me, because I'm going to cause you to thrive in a hostile environment. And when you come out on top of this thing and they wonder, how in the world did you sell so many cars, serve so many customers, and be such a light in this dark environment? They have to sit back and say, what are you doing? And you can testify and say, it was because of my God that he has prospered me. He's caused me to thrive in this environment. And you may not believe in him. You may not go to church. You may not even think he exists. But he is the proof of the results that have happened at this car dealership. I remember some of those same godless people, when their marriages started falling apart, would drag me into a private part of the dealership and say, my marriage is falling apart. Can you pray for me? Lives are falling apart. Families are in disruption. They would pull me to the side and say, hey, I know that we don't get along too well. I know that I ridicule you and I'm not friendly to you in the dealership, but my life is falling apart. My family is falling apart. Can you pray for me? And the Lord would say, son, this is why you're in this environment. This is why. So there's light in a place of darkness. God doesn't need light around other lights. Ooh, that was a word. See, we get so comfortable, we get complacent because we want all our little lights to just hang out and just stay together. We got to be lights, everybody. Let's just light each other up. God needs some of that light to go into the places of darkness. So if God has put you in Potiphar's household, that's because you are a light in Potiphar's household. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. And I also wondered, I said, God, why are you putting me, like I'm a preacher, like I'm a pastor of a church? Why? God says, because the people in the church need to know what it feels like to be in their shoes doing what they're doing. Because many times you're like, well, preacher, all you do is sit in the church and prepare a sermon, so you don't know what it feels like to be where we are. I'm like, yes, I do. I've been where the heathens run wild, like wild gazelles in the wilderness. And I want you to understand that you are lights in the darkness. And when God blesses you, thank you, and he prospers you, it's so that they will look back and say, why is this happening in your life? And then you can point them back to God. It was Joseph being able to say, it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the reason why I'm prospering in your household, and your household is thriving. It is the God that I serve, not the gods of Egypt, not the pagan gods that you have in your room of idolatry, but it's the God that I serve that's causing your house to prosper, Potiphar. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. So the word indeed means to intensely, to intense abundance. So when Jabez said, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, he said, will you bless me with intense abundance? And the Bible says that God answered his prayer. God did not answer his prayer so that he could show off or brag or talk about how good he was. God answered his prayer so that he would be a model and example to those around him. And God answered his prayer so that he could be a blessing to those around him. Amen. The more blessed you are, the greater blessing you should be in the lives of other people. The greater God blesses you, the greater the blessing you should be to people around you. Hallelujah. So let me give you a perspective of abundant blessings from the Lord. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and 11. I'm going to give you three perspectives from this. Number one. God reveals that he is the ultimate source of all of your blessings. God is the ultimate source of all of your blessings. 1 Chronicles 29, 11 says, yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and the earth is yours. Oh, Lord, this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. And look at verse 12. And wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. God can bless you in a moment, and he blesses you so you can be a blessing and a light to others. Amen. Israel is the only nation that God is with in the whole earth, and God blessed them so that all of the heathen nations around them would say, why is this nation blessed? And that from there, they could point them back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you hear me? James 1, 16 and 17 says this, so don't be misled, my brothers, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. Or in another version of the Bible, it says every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. You are not that smart. You may have come up with some stuff. You may have tried some things that worked out really, really good. But if God is blessing you, it's because God in heaven above has caused his favor to shine down on you. Now, don't get me wrong. Hard work is important. You got to work hard and steward what God has given you. But you can work as hard as you want, because if God does not declare increase in blessings over your life, it will not come. Do you hear what I'm saying? But every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. So number one, God is the ultimate source of all of your blessing. Second perspective is this. God is gracious and enjoys bestowing blessings on others or on his children. God gets excited when he is ready to bless you. Psalm 37, 27 says this, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God is excited and he is joyful to prosper his servants, to prosper his sons and his daughters. One of the greatest privileges I had was last year was bringing Pastor Liz for her birthday to Madison Square Garden for one of her bucket list events. And it took about 10 people all over the United States to pull off this this epic heist. And I use the word heist for a reason. For any of you who know that Pastor Liz missed a call and she should not be a preacher, she should actually be in the CIA or the FBI or special forces or something, because we're coming up on our 22nd year of marriage and I have never been able to pull off a secret thing in 22 years. And I had to call in Navy SEALs. I said, yes, we want to surprise her for her birthday. So I need SEAL Team 6. I need Special Ops. I need Black Ops. I need every special forces of the U.S. Army to help me pull off this special event. And the whole time, this was the thought. This was one of the most exciting things in my life, that I got to bless her with something that meant so much to her. If I felt like that as a husband towards my wife, how much more does God delight in prospering his children? How much more does he find joy when he sees us doing well and thriving and prospering in the things that he's given to us or the places he's placed us? Here's the reality, though. God gets a delight because when we understand that he's the source of the blessing, we give him glory. It's not for us, but we give glory all back to him because he's the one that blessed us. Amen. Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessings of the Lord make a person rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The blessings of the Lord makes a person rich, and he has no sorrow to it. You may have some rich friends who are heathens, but here's the thing. They have sorrow with their riches and their wealth. See, some of us want to be rich like our, we keeping up with the Joneses. We want to be rich like our neighbors or so on and so forth. But the reality is there is a sorrow with what some people have. But God wants to make you rich and add no sorrow. When God puts a hedge of protection and a wall of fire over that which you own and he protects you, that is the hand of God sustaining you and keeping you and causing you to prosper. That's the blessing of God upon your life. I remember back in 2000, in the early 2000s, I went to this car wash and I had a Nissan Titan pickup truck. That was my truck, and that's a decent truck. It's a nice truck. But I went with a guy who had a Cadillac Escalade truck. My truck was like around $30,000, $40,000. His truck was like $90,000, $95,000. We went to the same car wash on the same day. Within 2 hours of going to the exact same car wash, I went through the car wash, no problems. He went through the car wash with his Cadillac Escalade. The people left the windows rolled down in his vehicle and ran him through the car wash. They got soap, they got water, all kinds of stuff in his vehicle. And I remember, he lost his mind on those people at the car wash. And I remember coming back to the house, and the Lord said to me, he spoke to me in that moment, he says, son, he said, you may not have an Escalade, but do you understand how I protected your property in light of what just took place? He said, he has wealth, but he has sorrow with his wealth. God says, I blessed you and protected everything that you own. You went to the same car wash with the same workers during the same time, and look at how I protected what you had. He said, when you give your tithes and offerings, that's how I rebuke the devourer. That's how I keep the enemy from touching what belongs to you. That's how I put a hedge of protection around all that you own. I said, wow, that's what it looks like. God says, that's exactly what it looks like. Amen. And the third and final perspective of God's abundant blessings upon our life is this. God commands his leaders to bless the people and release greater measures of blessing upon them. Not only does God provide every good and perfect gift from heaven above, not only is God the source of all blessings and finds delight in prospering his servants, but he even commands the leaders of his people to declare and release blessings over them so that they can be blessed in even greater measures. Listen to what God tells Moses to tell Aaron the priest to do to and for the people. Numbers 6:22 says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with a special blessing. God was not just satisfied with blessing them. He said, now get the leaders and the priests to bless the people. He says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, he said, I myself will bless them. It is not a coincidence that at the end of every service on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, I tell you to stand up and raise your hands, and I begin to declare a blessing over you, because this is biblical, that God even desires to release a greater measure of blessings over his people. And I pray for you throughout the week that God would cause you to have promotions and raises and bonuses and increases, that God would cause your businesses to prosper, that everything that you touch, I pray that all throughout the week, because as a leader, that's what God has told us to do on behalf of the people. And when you start getting those things, it's not good luck. It's not happenstance. It's not good fortune. It's not that your zodiac finally hit or your lotto numbers fell in line. It's because the blessings of the Lord makes you rich, and he added no sorrow to it. Amen. And when you understand where the source of the blessing has come from, then you give glory to the source. See, if it was just you and hard work, then you could say, I worked hard and this is what the fruit of my hand produced. But when you can say, man, I did work hard, but God let his hand rest upon my job, my business, my company, my crew, my educational pursuit, my household, whatever I was doing, God let his hand rest upon us. Then you have to give God glory, because you know it was the Lord. Amen. I remember when I had that 20 car month, I took a special offering and I gave it to God. I said, Lord, this is my way of saying thanksgiving to you. This is my way of saying thank you, because there's no way I could have sold 20 cars this month. I was hustling. I must have worked like 60, 70, 80 hours that week. So there was work put in. But everything that I was touching was prospering. Everyone that I stood before signed and say, I want to buy a car today, and I'm going to bring my friends and my family back. I'm like, oh, my God. And I said, Lord, thank you. I give you glory. I testify of your goodness. That happened 6 years ago, and I'm still testifying of God's blessing and giving him glory for what he did 6 years ago. If you can recognize that God is blessing you and keep giving him glory, then God will keep delighting and blessing you. Come on. This is the key to unlock God's goodness, because God loves to receive glory. Amen. In closing, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And if you are missing out on these blessings because you are not asking him for these blessings, or if you're not in relationship, then today is the day you can make a turnaround in your life.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast. We pray that today's message has touched your heart and encouraged your spirit. We believe that the Word of God has the power to transform our lives and inspire us to be better versions of ourselves. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more inspirational messages. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you. And we look forward to seeing you at one of our weekend services and sharing with you once again next week.